Hello and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves, host of the Let the Bible Speak program. We want to let the Bible speak to issues of the day. We want to get back to hearing what God says in His Word and not all of the different voices that we hear around us in our culture today. I'm glad that you've joined us for a Bible study and your interest in spiritual things. This morning, I want to talk about a very common word and a very common concept, but I wonder if it's also a very misunderstood word and concept, and that is the simple word love. I want to talk about what the Bible says about love, and in particular, I want to look at some challenging New Testament love principles. We need to understand love from a biblical perspective. We're going to limit our study, and it will definitely be more than one study. We're going to limit that to the New Testament, but some of these same points we could be making also from the Old Testament. We need to get back to what the Bible says about love and not our modern connotation of that. Today it is skewed and distorted. People use the word all the time, but they don't use it in a biblical sense. And so, while it is a common word and a common concept, because of that, it would be good just to remind ourselves of what the Bible teaches about love. And if you stay with me on this study as we go through these things, you're probably going to be surprised at a few things involving love, maybe that you've never heard or that you don't hear a lot about. Today, somebody says, well, you know, when two men are in love, they can get married, or two women are in love, they can get married. You'll hear somebody say that somebody fell in love with another person and they were having a sexual relationship with them outside of marriage, but they're in love. Or love does not be negative in any kind of way. It doesn't condemn people. If you love people, don't condemn them. If you love people, you'll condone what is going on. And love accepts all kinds of behavior. You'll hear that. Or another situation that comes up in religion, and I'm aware of this and sensitive of this because I'm a gospel preacher, but sometimes people will say, you just need to preach about love. Stop condemning people and just preach about love, or stop being negative about this or that. Why can't you just preach about love? So they have a concept that love is an all positive kind of thing. And we could go on with other illustrations, but people simply need to get back to the biblical understanding and picture of love. And I hope in our study today and what follows in the next week or so that we will get back to that biblical picture. When you're just looking at the English word love, and you look at something like a Webster's dictionary, the noun is defined as something like a strong affection or a strong attraction that somebody has, tenderness. Sometimes the word love, this is common in Britain, for example, it's used for the word dear, or to have care for someone, or benevolence, or show good deeds. When it's used as a verb, to hold dear, to caress, to like, or to desire someone or something. So it's a common word. It has this idea of affection or attraction or care or tenderness or like or desire. But it has been twisted and distorted and turned into something that God never meant it to be. And so we've got to get back to the biblical definition of love. Most of the, if not all of the references that I'll be looking at in this study, or at least most of them, come from the Greek word agape, which deals with a sacrificial, serving, caring attitude. You have a desire towards someone, an attraction, an affection, and it shows itself in giving and serving and sacrificing. But what I want to focus on this morning is, and in this study, I want to look at challenging New Testament love principles. Love, when practiced biblically and according to the way God wants it practiced, actually will challenge us. And so I want to look at that in our study. Let's look at some challenging New Testament love principles. First of all, if you'll turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount, our first challenging love principle is that Jesus wants us to love the unlovable. And that's a challenge. It's easy to love a close friend. It's easy to love a family member or someone that we're very close to. But what about someone who is our enemy? It's easy to love a friend, but what about an enemy? It's easy to love a supporter, but what about someone who's against us? It's easy to love someone who cares for us, but what about someone who steals from us or physically harms us? We're to love even the unlovable. That's a challenge, but it must be done. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Well, of course, the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, Leviticus 19, 18, love thy neighbor. But the Old Testament never taught hate thine enemy. That was something that these people had heard from the Jewish leadership, but not God in the Old Testament. "But you have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I, Jesus, say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute or greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? You therefore shall be perfect or complete as your heavenly Father is perfect." We're to love our neighbor, but we're also to love our enemies. "I say unto you, love your enemies." Jesus taught the same thing in Luke chapter 6, 27 through 35. We find something similar all the way toward the end of our New Testament in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. "If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." So, I love God, but I hate my brother. That's a serious problem, and we'll talk about that later when we get closer to 1 John about brethren, loving brethren or hating brethren. But it's common today to hate your enemy. And if someone does you wrong, you retaliate and do them wrong. But we're to love them. And that's hard. That's a challenge. And if we want to help our enemy, if we want to truly bring them to the right way, if we want to get them to stop doing that kind of thing, we're not going to help them by hating them. It's the same thing with a country that we may be in war with. It's not just a person. It could be a family, a community, a business, a larger group of people, a society, a nation. If we have an enemy, one person or many persons, we're not going to help them or ourselves by hating them. That's going to continue the divide between us. If anything, we need to love them. That's how we're going to help them. Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 20, "If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So the first challenging love principle is to love the unlovable. And it would be tempting to avoid our enemies and not talk to our enemies, or maybe even actively hurt them in some way. But Jesus said to love them, and that's the way we're really like our Heavenly Father. Perfect love, or complete love, like our Father, is to love even those who do not love us. Remember, God so loved the world, John 3:16, famous passage, and that includes many people who do not like him, or maybe even hate God, or are enemies of God. And yet he wants them all to be saved. So, number one, love the unlovable. Here's another challenging love principle in the book of Matthew. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, we're going to have to prioritize our love for things and for persons, and we've got to put Jesus first. And that's hard. We live in a material world where we're in love with all kinds of material things. We live in a world where we might have a spouse or a family, so persons are around us, and we might love them more than God and Jesus. And so we have to understand that there is a hierarchy of love, if you will, or a priority, and that is that God comes first in his son Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 37, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me, and he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses or gives up his life for my sake shall find it." We've got to put Jesus first in our life, and that is so important. Who do you love more? And somebody says, well, I love Jesus. Now, I'm not always going to obey him, and I'm not going to become a Christian and go to church and pray and read my Bible. But, you know, I love Jesus. But really, what happens is they love other people more. They love other things more. So we've got to put Jesus first. And this is a challenge. Somebody says, well, you don't understand. I'm close to my mother and father. I'm close to my son and daughter. I'm close to those around me. That's great. We need to be close. In fact, that's one of our problems in our society, is that parents and children are not close and loving toward each other. That's one of our main problems. But be that as it may, we still have to put God above all others. And it would be nice if we would all obey God and Jesus Christ. But often that is not the case. We might be married to someone who doesn't want to obey Jesus. We've got to love Jesus more and keep doing what Jesus wants and not what our spouse wants us to do, or mother or father or son or daughter or whoever that might be. Jesus is the one that we're going to stand in judgment before. God is going to judge the world. He's going to use Jesus to judge the world. We stand before Jesus. Friends, we need to get busy obeying Jesus and loving him more than anyone else. We're not going to stand before our parents. We're not going to stand before our children, our spouse, or anybody else. We need to make sure that we are loving Jesus more than anything and obeying his gospel and living according to his word. He's the one that we're going to stand before. We would do well to be loving him more now. So it's very, very important. Along those same lines of putting God and Jesus first, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, here's another challenging New Testament love principle, and that is that love for God requires our all. It's not enough just to give him a portion or a little bit here and there. We must give him our all. I may have said Matthew chapter 12. I meant to say Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, when asked, Jesus, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And we'll get to this loving your neighbor in just a minute. So, loving God, but then it is qualified with all. We can't just simply give God a part of our love. And that's the problem. We give him just a part. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 12, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Both the body and the mind, every part of us, every part of our thinking, and even our strength, our physical bodies, we are to put God first. And when Jesus said, on this hangs the whole law and the prophets, if you love God with your all, and then your neighbor as yourself, everything in the old law, all that was said from Genesis to Malachi, it can all be summarized either as something that comes from loving God or something that comes from loving our fellow man. And so it's like two pegs. The whole law hangs on that. You get that principle down right and you will be fine. But the key or the challenge is the word all. Even in the Old Testament, there were kings that were told that they did not serve God with their whole heart. They did not follow the Lord with their whole heart, just part of it. And it's easy to say, well, you know, I'm going to give God just a portion of my love, but then I want to keep the rest of it for myself, like a piece of pie. I'll give him a slice or two, but the rest of it is for me. And that's the problem. The rest of it that's for me, that's where sin comes in. That's where the devil comes in. I've got to give God every aspect of my thinking, my reasoning powers, my willpower, my emotions. I need to give God my emotions and my reasoning and my thinking and my desires. And I've got to give him all of my strength. My body is going to be used in his service. But if we hold one little piece of the pie, one little sliver for us, that's where the problem comes in. So friends, I would encourage us that we give God our all. In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was talking about the Good Samaritan, and he was asked, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to this lawyer, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He answered right. The problem was he didn't practice that. He didn't love God with all of his heart because he wouldn't help someone who was in need. And he didn't practice loving your neighbor as yourself because he wouldn't help someone in need. And he tells this story about the man going down from Jerusalem who's robbed, and the priest and the Levite walk by on the other side, but the Good Samaritan stops and helps him. And then Jesus said to this lawyer, you need to go and do likewise. I don't want to hear a scripture quotation. I want to see it in practice in your life. I don't want to see if you can just quote scripture. Are you going to practice scripture? And that happens a lot today, where people can quote the right scripture, but they're not practicing it. They can tell you where something is in the Bible and maybe quote it by heart, but they're not practicing it. So Jesus said, you know, with regard to this loving God and loving your neighbor, go out and practice it. But the word all is the key there. That's the challenge. A lot of people will give God a portion of their life. They're just, and their thinking and their body and all of that, but they're not going to give him their all. They're not going to completely turn themselves over. Like Paul, who said, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. So turn everything over to God. There can be religious people who will give God their time on Sunday, for example, or they'll give God time reading the Bible or praying or going to a church service, but then they're using their mind for things. Maybe they're looking at things they shouldn't look at, or maybe in some area of their life they're doing something they shouldn't do. They're giving God, but they're not giving God their all. And that's the challenge. That's the key. So let's keep that in mind. Giving God our all. God gave us his all, and we need to give God our all. So, in this same passage, let's look at the next challenging love principle, and that is to love our neighbor as ourself. This shows up in the Matthew 22, the Mark 12, and the Luke 10 passage. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And that can be quite challenging. Talk to people the way you want to be talked to. Do things and act toward others the way you want them to act toward you. That's quite challenging. What happens is we live by a double standard. We talk to people any way we want, but we expect them to talk to us in a good way. We act toward other people any way we want, but we expect them to act toward us in a good way. That's a double standard. That's hypocritical. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And you know, that shows up in marriage. Paul says something similar in Ephesians chapter 5 with regard to husbands loving their wives. He says, even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. Treat them like you would treat your own body. It's a similar principle. Love her the way you would love yourself. He that loveth his own wife loves himself. How do I want to be treated as a husband? How do I treat myself as a husband? I need to treat her in the same way, and it's still in the context of love. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. Men, we take care of ourselves, and we're going to make sure when we need something at the store to take care of ourselves, I got to go to the store and buy this. Well, what if our wife needs something? What if she needs to take care of herself in some way? We take care of her the way we would take care of ourselves. So it's very, very important. Verse 33, nevertheless, do you also individually love each one his own wife, even as himself? It's like love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others, including your wife, the way you want to be treated. And every husband knows how they want to be treated, but then they'll treat their wife in a very harsh and demeaning way. They're not acting out of love. And so there's this challenging principle to love others the way you would want to be loved. And that is so important. Let's look at one more last challenging principle before we close today. And as we go through these studies, remember, we're getting a biblical principle on love, not just what society says. One more principle, and that is that love can grow cold, and there is a challenge to keep it going. Jesus said, with regard to some of the signs and characteristics of what would happen leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Notice the connection between growing sin and love growing cold. The more we sin, the less we love others the way we're supposed to love them. But the love of many will grow cold. And Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, Ephesus had this problem. I describe them as the orthodox but loveless church. They were right on target with their teaching, but they had left their first love for their fellow Christians and for Christ. They had left their first love. John writes, Jesus through John writes, "This I have against thee, that you have left your first love." It's a challenge to keep love going the way it needs to be going. Friends, love is an emotion. It's a desire. It's an emotion. It's an affection. It's an attraction. And you have to keep it going. That's a challenge. It's not once you love, you always love. It's in marriage. It's in your relationship with Christ. It's in your relationship with others. You have to keep it hot. Jesus said it would grow cold. You have to keep it hot. And things that are hot tend to grow cold unless you keep the heat under it. You take a pot off the stove, it's going to grow cold. You take something off of a campfire, it's going to grow cold. You've got to keep the heat under it. And so you've got to maintain your love for Christ and others. And that is through obedience, it's through Bible study, it's through prayer, it's through practicing what's in Scripture, it's working at it each day. You've got to keep it hot. You've got to keep with regard to marriage, some people call it keeping the home fires burning. But love can grow cold, and it's a challenging principle to keep it hot. Will you do that? Well, friends, I appreciate your time this morning. Sometimes someone will say, "Well, just preach about love." Well, today and over the next few Bible studies, I'm going to be preaching about love. We're going to get back to seeing what the Bible says about that. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I hope that you'll have a good day.